Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Scott Hensler Network. I'm your host, Scott Hensler, on Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to go into a little more detail about deliverance exorcisms. There seems to be a stigma, a type of thought or teaching about deliverance. And as I've mentioned before, that many of the churches ignore this, reject it, will not allow it. And to me, that's just insanity. People who are hurt, wounded, have curses on them, that are in the church are not being healed or delivered. I mean, that's just insane. It doesn't make any sense. So, but therefore, since it's not an order, especially a biblical order, because the Great Commission of Jesus Christ tells us to do this, to heal the sick and set the captives free. So God is a God of order, so therefore this is not coming from God and must be an assignment then from Satan. And so as I've said before, how important it is to get out of a church that does not have deliverance, because that means there's an intent to keep you in bondage. Now, it's very important in deliverance that you are of a repentant heart. You need to, in your spirit, in your soul, in your mind, be willing to lay everything down at the cross. Meaning, no bitterness, no resentfulness, no anger towards others. You need to forgive those who have trespassed against you, so God can forgive you, so God can heal you and have you delivered. Because if you do not forgive, then God will not forgive you. This is Scripture. This is God's Word. So, a lot of deliverances that I see, you wonder why people are not being healed in a deliverance, or there may be some breakthroughs. There is some proof that your life is changing because of the demonic spirits are being cast out, the curses are being broken, but there may be something left over. Now, I wanted to touch on Paul the Apostle. In his epistles, it describes that he had a thorn in his side, a messenger of Satan. But he also goes on to say that how he recognizes, you know, that he wished it would go away, but he recognizes that God may be keeping it there in order that he doesn't boast about his position, about his authority, about his abilities in the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit more than others. So this tells us that if you've got something in your life that you're not getting rid of, then this may be the circumstance. So again, let's look at it this way. Let's suppose that you've got parents that you're still angry with. Maybe you still have a ex-spouse that you're angry with. Maybe there's people in the church that you feel has done you wrong. And it may be the case. But Jesus was very specific about do not take offense. And the reason for this is to make sure that in your spirit, you know, you should always guard your heart, but in your spirit, you're not allowing a root of bitterness to come in. Now, if you have something that has not been taken care of, something that, you know, unrepentant sin or a generational curse that hasn't been broken, there may be a setup that's keeping you from coming to that point. There's some kind of blocking spirits that are always irritating you, pushing your buttons, doing something that keeps you in a state that you're still angry at them, you can't forgive them. And, you know, I get this and I understand that, especially if you've lost a loved one in an accident to maybe somebody that was, you know, another driver who was drunk. Maybe there was a murder. Maybe there was an accident that was someone else's fault, you know. Could have been industrial, could have been out while you were ATVing or something, and it was someone else's fault, and you're having trouble forgiving them for losing your spouse, your child, your best friend. And it is very important to understand that the individual that was the cause of the accident, that there may have been a demonic setup. There may have been a curse of accidents over your family. There may have been a curse of accidents in their family. So it really wasn't their fault. And you need to forgive them because in their heart, in their spirit, they know they've done something wrong. And to keep them in bondage with hatred and unforgiveness is a sin. And it keeps them from being able, let's say they're not a Christian. And so they, and you are, and you're holding this anger and this resentfulness. Well, you're not being a very good example of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not being an example of the loving kindness of God. And as hard as it is to release these things, I want you to understand that there may be a demonic stronghold that's keeping you from forgiving these people. They're blocking spirits. You know, like any football team, any soccer team, there's, you know, even in basketball, there's those points, assignments, positions that are there solely to block the opposite team from coming to the basket, coming to the goal, for making it through the line. And demons are the same way. They're blocking spirits. Just in Daniel, that the messenger was not able to make it through, and so there had to be a divine intervention through angelic means to stop it. Now, we as people have been given free choice. And since God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are gentlemen, they're not going to force their will on you. They're not going to make you do something you don't want to do. Look at it this way. Could you imagine heaven full of people who didn't want to be there? I mean, that's just crazy. And so some of the teachings that I see where God chooses who goes to heaven, who goes to hell, shows just how crazy that is. We are of free choice. And yes, there are spirits that block us from making choices. That can be a curse. Those who reject Jesus Christ are cursed. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit are cursed. Cursed unto death, to hell, then to the lake of fire. And so, deliverance. Being an intercessor, a deliverance minister, I've been doing this a very long time. And this is a situation that you need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you in deliverance. There's times some deliverances are textbook. You know, it's this, that, you're done. But other times there's deep-rooted circumstances that may be layered in their demonic realm. So this has been taking place over a long period of time in a family. And those things that were sown by your ancestors, you're the one who's reaping them. And that means you're cursed. And so, again, churches who do not approach this or look at it this way, I'm boggled by it because I see it every day. It's as if I was back in electronic engineering, and I had certain tools that I used. I had certain manuals and information. you know, put that compared to the manual as the Bible, and the tools are the gifts of the Spirit. And without having these tools, I can't do my job. I can't do what I was trained to do. I can't do what I want to do. I can't make money, and I can't. That's crazy. And this is what's happened to the church. The church is in a position of poverty, spiritual poverty, neglect, ignorance. My father used to say, I'd say, well, what's wrong with this person, or why are they doing what they're doing even though they've been educated? And he said, well, son, they've been educated beyond their intelligence. This is the circumstance I see with many pastors because of the teachings that come out of the seminaries that have rejected the great commission of Jesus Christ. Do not allow the Holy Spirit to flow. Say that with it's a doctrine of demons to say that this was all done. It no longer pertains to us. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the canons, are as one. Jesus came to fulfill the law. In order for us to understand it, we need to understand the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, we learn and understand, especially through Paul's teachings, the power of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts literally is a beginning, a start of the power, because Jesus said, I must go so another comes in my place, and that is the Holy Spirit. So as we move forward and we do not use the spiritual tools that are given to us, for one, that's a sin. You're rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's how serious this is. So pastors, you need to understand that by your position, you're put there, you may be ordained there, you may be assigned by God to lead your flock forward in these last days, and you're not doing it. And you've got some answering to do. You're putting people in harm's way. You're allowing them to continue in their sins. You're allowing them to continue in their curses, and through lack of knowledge, they perish. And it's going to be on your shoulders. And so there's quite a few pastors who do believe in the deliverance ministry that are practicing it. It's one of the foundations of the church. And I can guarantee you that wonders and miracles that are setting people free, people being healed, marriages being brought back together, relationships of children and parents are being brought back together, lives are being totally restored, the relationship with God's being restored, and it just goes on and on and on because the power of the Holy Spirit is allowed to flow. Now, when it comes to this type of situation, God is very specific in that we need to test the Spirit. If we do not test the Spirit, then literally anything goes. So you see a lot of Spirit-filled churches, or those that basically are very into the prophetics. You have to be discerning of the situation. For one, many of the people who are in these, they themselves have not been delivered. It's not their fault. They were a heavy sinner before they became a Christian. Maybe they became a Christian at age 30, and they carried with them the curses and the demonic spirits that were attached to them through their sin into their walk with God. And so God will give you gifts, and he won't take them away, but what much has been given, much is expected. And so if you're moving forward and you have an influence that is not coming from the Holy Spirit. So let's say you may have a clairvoyant spirit. You may have a spirit of false prophecy that is in you, and you're warring in your abilities to pray and speak over others. So one word comes from the Holy Spirit. The next time it comes from the dark side. And you're wondering, and the people you're praying for are wondering why sometimes things happen the way they do. Maybe it gets worse, because if you use the spirit from the spirit realm, the second heaven, the fourth dimension, that is unclean, familiar spirits or deceiving spirits, those are three basic ones we see in Scripture, that is an act of divination, necromancy. And though you don't know it, by the spoken words you're speaking coming from the wrong source, you're actually cursing somebody, and you're cursing yourself. And so by being delivered of these spirits that are deception, familiar, unclean, and under them are a grouping that is literally endless. I tried keeping track of all the names of spirits and just gave up. The list just became too long. And when it all boils down to, they still fall under these categories. So it is important, though, to know the name of the spirit if there's a situation that is very difficult to deal with. And I'll try and touch on that later. But the point of it is that when you move forward in God's power, you need to be completely rid of the past. So God can fully work through you. And when he can, and through your obedience, and through being delivered, the power that you have is unstoppable. Again, the term dunamis, dynamite, dynamo, the powers of the heaven, the powers that Jesus Christ gave us through his willful sacrifice on the cross, and how important that is for all of us to understand that. Things are picking up for me and praying for people. There's a lot more healing taking place. There's a lot more deliverance. People's lives are changing. And the basic reason is because I have more exposure. I'm able to pray for more people. And sometimes there are people that nothing happens. And that's why I want to touch on that, because those blocking spirits, if there has not been confession, it's important when I work with someone that has a great deal of problems and they're layered, and I say like an onion, you may go back several hundred years in your bloodline, you go back thousands of years, but in particular where a curse may have started may have been hundreds of years back. And now it has come not only to full term, but on your back are a lot more monkeys, meaning that you've got a lot more sin, a lot more curses that have come because of the iniquitous pull that was generated through the sin that was already covering you and was never renounced, was never broken, the demons were never cast out. And so now here you are, you've actually been a good person, and your life sucks. Everything goes wrong. You're in poverty. Your relationships are absurd. They're crazy. It doesn't matter who you meet, who you try and date, who you try and enter in relationship. It always blows up. It always goes bad because there's an assignment on you to destroy you. Satan goes around as a roaring lion to see who he may devour. And through sin and curses, you've got a target on your back. And you need to get that target removed. And once that target is removed, you can move forward in righteousness, cleansed, healed, delivered, and made right to come before the Most High God. And this is the whole point of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, we are fallen because of the garden. And they themselves actually carry that curse. So that needs to be broken. Women don't, but they themselves can carry other curses. Again, this is why Mary was qualified. Even though she was part of the fall of the garden, she was female, and it's men who carry that curse. So the Holy Spirit was the one that had to come come into her and to bear Jesus, so Jesus could be born without sin of the garden. See how important that is? So now we know why the fallen angels, all the way back before the flood, in Noah's day, and Enoch, and so forth, that they were trying to corrupt the seed that they knew would eventually carry down the bloodline to Mary, who would bear Jesus Christ. And so when we see how powerful curses are and how Satan is controlling and manipulating everything possible to defile you, to keep you from receiving and being the man and woman of God that God intended you, God weeps over you. He cries. But again, as I mentioned, being a gentleman, and the laws are written from day one, that he cannot force you to accept good or evil. Now, just as we see in the Old Testament and in the New, to, you know, receive blessings or receive curses. It's a choice. But unfortunately, going back to the church, that this isn't being taught, isn't being exercised, and so we have millions of people in churches who are broken and wounded, they're desolate, their marriages, you know, they've been married five times, four, three times. Going through a divorce is terrible. Soul tie breaking, just getting your heart broken. These are traumas. These are circumstances that, again, because we were never intended to go through such things, are another, are new openings, new doorways. So when we go back full circle to why somebody isn't being delivered, you can look at it and say, well, the church isn't fully operating in the authority and power of God, because there is maybe something in the church that is hidden. Maybe a Jezebel has come in and set up camp and is keeping people from working together, because that's what Jezebel does. She comes in and she segregates, she separates, she splits, and she divides. And when I say she, I don't mean, I say it in the sense like you would name a ship she, or a storm or something in that sense, because Jezebels can come in man form too. But it is a specific spirit that works in conjunction with multiple personalities, and through the hurts and wounds that fragmented the individual that caused them to have multiple personalities, through self-preservation, meaning to avoid pain, to avoid suffering, somewhere along the line, they became indoctrinated in cahoots with spirits. They gave them power. They gave them authority. And they're multiples. They're alter personalities. Their disassociation identity disorder issues are in cahoots with the demons. And so a Jezebel is normally very intelligent and can juggle all these different lies, all these different plots, these circumstances. Like I say, they can come in and work with one person and segregate them from their best friend that they've had for 10 years in that church, and now they're at each other's throat. And so a house divided cannot stand. So a church may not have a cleansing. We see in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned before in 2:20, that Jesus says, I have this against you. You've allowed that woman Jezebel, now he mentions woman, to is seducing my spirits and having them eat meat sacrificed to idols. That's huge. That's keeping a church from being who God intended them. And Jesus is making that point. And so since that point is made, we need to take that seriously. So pastors, if you haven't been delivered, if you have lust, if you are addicted to pornography, which is a demonic setup that keeps you in bondage, then here comes Jezebel. Here comes the woman with the short skirt, the low top, probably had plastic surgery, may be okay looking, but she has a persona, a euphoric spirit behind her that has seduction, and she seduces the pastor, she seduces the associate pastor, she seduces those that are leaders in the church, and they may possibly fall with them in sexual immorality. And next thing you know, that church is literally going down the tubes because the pastor can't confess because he doesn't want anybody to know it. He made a horrible mistake. He sees how he was set up. And so this is a hidden secret that will eventually destroy the church. And we see this all the time. And by the way, that also includes homosexuality. And we see this, unfortunately, time to time. So this type of environment can cause a church not to move forward in the spirit completely. So you understand? See what I mean? How that works. Now, there can be full rejection because of the doctrine that one has received, which again is a doctrine of demons, not to move forward in the authority of Jesus Christ with the Great Commission. And so that in itself carries a curse, because the people then who come into the church may have heavy infection of spirits, maybe a cult. Occultic. They may be practicing witches. They may be sorcerers. And so, though it may be a large church that they're in, because Satan's not going to give them a hard time, because why would he want to destroy a church at that moment when he can bring in masses of thousands of people to make a mega church, and then he waits and drops the hammer, and then doesn't just get a few hundred to fall, he gets a few thousand. So he's very patient. He's very stealthy, just like Jezebel is. So again, this may be the issue why your church isn't doing it. Now, I can guarantee you, as sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, people, that as we get into these end times and we're here, things are manifesting, things are taking place. I'm getting very busy with a lot more emails, a lot more Skype calls, phone calls, local deliverances here. People hearing voices, people having visitations, it's escalating. And this is what I saw in 2005, along with many who were in this type of ministry. That in the end times, the end days, that people were going to be infected even more so with more demons and even more powerful demons. Because the curses, the issues, the anger, the bitterness isn't being delivered out of the saints, the congregation, the people attending church. And so as a mega church is setting everyone up to take a fall. And in the end times, because they're not delivered, they're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, because we're going to see things that are going to be horrific. And if we have a spirit of fear, a spirit of the inability to see us who we are as children of the Most High God, then you will be overwhelmed. Those who are in the military know that when you partner up with somebody and you go through a door or you go into a battle situation, that if you have full confidence of this person, because they have, even though they're, you know, no one likes being in war, but they have courage, and they're also able to keep their head. So otherwise, they're not going to go running around, and if a round goes off or something, they're still able to move forward and deal with the situation. The same thing is going to be at the church. There's going to be some who are going to be able to move forward regardless of the manifestations that are going to take place, and they're going to be the ones who most likely will pull the rest out of the muck to pull them out of situations that are causing their hearts to fail them. But unfortunately, there's also going to be a great deal of people whose hearts are going to fail them because they have that spirit of fear. They don't know who they are in Jesus Christ. They don't understand the power of God. They don't feel the power of God. They don't feel their relationship with God, because there's all this demonic setup, blockage that comes in and keeps the congregation from fulfilling the Great Commission. And so, you know, I was praying for a man 2 weeks ago who had been ill for a very long time, and I may have mentioned this before. But he just didn't feel the power of God. He didn't see it. He believed. He loved the Lord. But because of the issues that were dealt to him, the church that he was in and had been exposed to, nobody was flowing in the gifts. Nobody was moving forward in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And how sad that is, to see people who are desperately crying out, who are wounded and hurt, their hearts are broken, their spirits are broken, they've lost hope. And by the way, I want to reach out to those who are in the military, the returning vets, those that have received a great deal of trauma, have seen and done things that they wish they hadn't seen or done, and being on unholy ground, have also received spirits And now you have the spirit of suicide, the spirit of death, the spirit of insanity, the spirit of depression, the spirit of addictions. And so we lose 22 to 25 veterans a day because there isn't enough of us to go around to pray for these people and break the curses and cast the demons out. And we see this even with the Christian church. We see Christians who are killing themselves. We see Christians who are so into pornography, they can't even go to church anymore because they've got such guilt, toxic shame. Maybe they've gone outside their marriage and have committed adulterous acts against their spouse. And because of fornication outside of marriage, then they receive spirits from the people that God set, that Satan set them up, and now there was a transference of spirits, and now they're even worse. And maybe they've gone home and made love to their wife, and now their wife is whacked out, their husband's whacked out, they're sick, they're having nightmares, they're having night terrors. Now they're sexually aroused by things that they normally wouldn't have been attracted to, maybe even same sex. So now your wife is now in a lesbian affair. Your husband is out doing things that he would have normally done because you went out and slept with somebody that was full of demons, and now they have a legal right to you. So if you come in for deliverance, if you want to be delivered, you need to be. You know, the joke is, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is one, but the light bulb has to be willing to change. There are some people who like their demons. There are some people who don't want to be delivered, even professing Christians, because it empowers them. Same thing with Jezebel. Jezebels are very hard to deliver. Borderline personality disorder is very hard to deliver because that becomes who they are. That's why it is a, quote, personality disorder. That is who they are. They don't want to give up who they are. To give up who they are means they step outside of the nest. They take a leap into something that is unfamiliar. It scares them. They don't like it. And the loss of control, okay, since God wants us to surrender to Jesus Christ, see, that inability to surrender control, they can't do it. And so they end up not being able to be fully delivered. Now, you combine that with those that may have been the perpetrators when they were children and young adults that caused the circumstance for them to hardwire themselves, to alter and change their personalities, which are through the abuse, through sexual abuse, through molestation, are open doors. And again, as I mentioned, the trauma, then that causes a split in the personality. So not only do you have a personality disorder, that always goes in hand with multiples. And so there's this cascade, this layer effect, this stacking of issues that can be pretty thick and pretty deep. And so you've got people that through the lies and deception in their multiple personalities and their personality disorders are unable or unwilling to release these to the cross. And so many people go through life, they may go to deliverance ministries once, but I'll tell you what, to work with someone who has a borderline personality disorder doesn't happen very, very often. Because, again, the fight-or-flight spirit that's within them. Now, we all have this to avoid danger, but when you have running spirits, meaning that a person who may be satanically ritually abused, there may be an altar that's simply programmed that when someone gets close to the Holy Spirit or it looks like there's going to be deliverance, that multiple will rise up, being demonically influenced, and that person will flee from deliverance. So many of the people that I work with have been in relationship with borderlines, thinking that they are, because there has been a transference of spirits, but it happened in a later time in life, and so their personality was already founded. They are who they are. They're broken, they're wounded, they're fragmented, but they're still, the core person is there. It hasn't been altered. And so they're the ones who come in for deliverance. They're the ones that I am able to deliver. I am able to heal because they understand who they are in Christ. They understand they need to surrender. And so the demons come flying out of them. Their heart is restored. Their heart is healed. If they have multiples, they're reincorporated back to the core person, made as one. This is one of the definitions of these kinds come out with fasting and prayer, because it's a healing, a surrendering to the Holy Spirit through your obedience and prayer that God can work in you. Because remember, He can't do something if you don't want it. He's not going to force you. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. And so again, this goes full circle back to why some people don't get delivered. And they hold on to that bitterness. They hold on to that anger. How they say, I'm never going to forgive them, or I'm never going to forgive my parents. How dare they say that to me? This anger, you know, we can be angry, but do not sin. Now, we can also have a righteous anger, and you should, because you, being a blood-bought born child of the Most High God, being heirs to the throne, your Father is the King of the universe, the King of the heavens, the author of the Bible. His Son, Jesus Christ, willfully paid the sacrifice on the cross to shed His blood to pay for your sins. So you're in good company. You can't get better than that. You can't get anything stronger, better, cleaner, purer, more righteous than the blood of the Lamb. And that means you are where you will be, in the safest position as these times come. Now, if you're moving in your sins, you haven't repented, you've fallen off the wagon, maybe you got into pornography and now it's got a hold of you, you do love the Lord, but now you're warring and you don't want to confess your sins. So that's another issue. You won't confess them. You need to confess it to somebody. Now, here's one of the things that I just recently learned about the Catholicism practice of confession. That when this goes way back to the beginning of this, confession to a priest who was not a Christian, who was not in Christ, but it was a Catholicism, a doctrine that was set in place to appease the king, to have control, to have a New World Order, Illuminati-type situation. That when you confessed, then this information, just like the NSA's doing, where they're gaining information on people to profile you, to find out what you're involved with. Have you done something that would hurt the king? Have you done something that would have caused a coup to take place, to take away the power of the church, to take away power from the king, from the ruling environment? And so this was put in place to find out all these dirty little secrets and use it against you. So many people who came to confession were then arrested and incarcerated, and many were put to death. And so this spirit that comes along, which, by the way, I relate to the brown shirt spirit, those people who are willing to turn on their fellow man, just like we saw in Nazism, the SS, Hitler, the regime that was causing destruction through revealing to the unholy government, the government, the satanic Illuminati, communist regime of the Nazi Empire, to expose those who were patriotic, to expose those who were Christians, to expose those who would have stood against Nazism, then these brown shirts receiving this spirit to defile, to expose, to eliminate those who were a threat to the demonic. And so this whole facade has come into the church, and many people can't confess because of pride. Pride that says, I don't want anybody to know my sins. Now, of course, we need to be discerning whenever we speak to people. And that is very difficult. So when you have this massive confusion in a church that you don't know who you can speak to, maybe you did confess your sins to somebody and they then gossiped and told someone else, and now you're shunned. You're out of the church because you did something. Instead of the church forgiving you and embracing you and bringing you in and praying for you and delivering you and to bring you back into righteousness, you were then condemned. See, this is what I'm talking about. It's a nonstop insanity, because Satan wants to keep a church that if a church is clean, if a church is in righteousness, if a church has done deliverance and the ministry itself is not bearing sin, not carrying sin, they've renounced, they've been cleansed, they've been healed, the demons have been cast out, the curses have been broken, and the power of the Holy Spirit can flow through this church, what's at the top, just like water, a spring or a river that's in the high mountains eventually works its way down, it's the same thing with the righteousness of the pastor. That this will work its way down into the congregation, and next thing you know, you've got a church without spot or wrinkle. You've got a church that has great power, great authority in the name of Jesus Christ, can lay hands on people. So this is what Satan's been doing all this time. And he's defiling and keeping deliverance out of the church. Maybe there's been circumstances where deliverance would arrive because the order, since God is a God of order, was not established, and the deliverance, because the people were not testing the Spirit, not aligning themselves with the Word of God, that some had crept in amongst them, wolves in sheep's clothing. Those may have been Jezebels. Those may have been sorcerers pretending to be in the deliverance or having a look of godliness but not acting on it, obtaining their source from the dark side. So they may give a prophetic word over someone, but the information came from familiar spirits. And as I mentioned, that when you indulge in such things, that this is a curse, a act of divination, of witchcraft, and so the deliverance was unsuccessful. Now it's got a bad name. Well, again, with the corruption of the church, it's very important to seek out a deliverance ministry that believes in the gifts but is discerning, that they pray amongst themselves, that they have intercessors, that they're strong in the Lord, that they confess their sins amongst each other, and that they have a covering, a protection of each other, and those who are leading it have proven that they themselves are righteous and who they are in Christ. So, again, deliverance is removing spirits. Deliverance is breaking curses. Deliverance is setting the captives free. Deliverance is healing the sick. And without it, a church is not going to be in the full alignment of God's will. So again, if you're going to a church that doesn't have deliverance, then there's something wrong. Get it? I mean, it's amazing that, you know, it's 1, 2, 3, ABC. God is a God of order. It either is or it isn't. You cannot drink the cup of demons and the cup of Christ at the same time. You cannot bask in light and dark at the same time. It either is or it isn't. So if a church isn't doing deliverance, you're in the wrong church. And the doctrine that you're receiving is spewing onto you with bad spirits and keeping you from being the men and women of God that God intended you to be. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And it is as simple as that. I was raised Lutheran, which is going to have some Catholicism. I had to renounce that. But also, I was sitting in the pews going to hell because even though I was learning of Jesus Christ, I didn't know how to receive him. I never came to him asking for him to come into my heart until I was in my late 30s. If I had died, been in a car accident, a sickness or murdered, I would have gone to hell. It's that simple. And through the love and grace of God, that didn't happen. And I eventually received Jesus Christ. I eventually ended up in the deliverance ministry. And here I am today, trying to pray for those who are in need, just as those who prayed for me. Much is given, much is expected. And so I've dedicated my life, I have dedicated the past decade and plus some, to praying for people. And I'm going to continue. I can't turn back. I can't go back. I can't say that I'm not going to do this anymore, because my picture's on a wanted poster in hell. I have thrown out thousands of demons out of people. I have broken hundreds and maybe thousands of curses off of people. And so the demons, you know, they're very angry at me. And they hate me just like they hate you, but they've got a bone to pick. And so I have to move forward in authority. I have to watch my P's and Q's. I have to dot my I's. I have to cross my T's as I move forward in this. Because if I fall to sin, if I do something that causes the demonic to have a legal right to me, they're going to kick my rear end. They're going to make sure that I don't get up off the ground. There's going to be a regiment of them beating me to dust. And you know what? I'm not going to let that happen. Jesus, God bless you for what you did. Holy Spirit, thank you for protecting me, empowering me, and showing me. Father God, thank you for loving me and sending your Son. Thank you for your word. Thank you for putting it in writing. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without it, Father, I know that I would be dead by now. I know that my soul would not be saved. I would not have the seal of God on my forehead. My name would not be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I would be thrown into the pit of hell, eventually into the lake of fire. And so people, as you listen to this broadcast and what I'm saying to you, you need to understand that God, Jesus, has given you this same gift. And so grab it, like you're on a merry-go-round. Reach out and grab that ring. You may miss it once, you may miss it a second time, but get it that third time. And don't stop. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. You may be pounded on by Satan, by the demons, by the fallen angels. But through the blood of the Lamb, you have all power and authority over the demonic. Stand up in righteousness. Lift your head up. Bring that light, that candle out from beneath the basket. Hold it up. Let it shine through your eyes. Let people see that you have the love of God, that you have Jesus Christ in you, that you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and that God tells them through discernment to come to you, saying to you, Johnny, Mary, talk to this man, talk to this woman, even children can have this power and authority. And by the way, as I mentioned, Satan hates children because the younger they are, the less that they've sinned. Now, we're born into sin, but they don't have the sins that you committed. They didn't fornicate. They didn't go to the pornography. They didn't do the things that you did. They didn't take the drugs. They're clean. They're pure. And so Satan really hates them. And so really what this amounts to is protecting the next generation, which we have failed miserably in this. To see what the church is doing when it comes to children's ministry, the youth ministry, where it's all about games and music, but not empowering them, not for them understanding, because when you truly receive the Holy Spirit and the words and the visions and the knowledge that's given to you through that and the empowerment, And the relationship that you now vertically have with God directly, and that you understand that it's Jesus plus nothing. Any young child, any young adult would fully understand and appreciate it if they were prayed for and delivered. Many of these children are dealing with curses because of their parents. Many children have come from broken homes, so they've got a curse of divorce. They've got broken hearts from it. Their souls are fragmented. Their little minds are tainted with the anger and bitterness that they saw through the divorce. And they need delivered. They need set free. So, you know, if you can't do it for yourself, then you're not going to do it for your kids. And I'll tell you why. Because you not standing in righteousness and in the authority of God, because you've repented, you've renounced, you've come to deliverance, you've had the curses broke off, which, by the way, they're generational, they're going to go on to your kids. If you haven't done that, then your kids are going to be, what you sow, your kids are going to reap. It's that simple. And maybe your father was this way, and maybe it skipped you, but now it's going to get your kids. Maybe you're dealing with what your grandfather, so it skipped your father, and you're dealing with it. See how that works? Boy, I tell you, a church who doesn't do deliverance, I just shake my head. It's unbelievable. Shame on you, pastors. Shame on you and the church that think that was done in the days of old and is not for today. Because you've got something in your mind that is keeping you from understanding the Word of God. And the Word of God, when Jesus was in his ministry, that one-third was casting out demons, healing the sick, and setting the captives free. He wanted us to go out by twos. And by the way, the first group of 70 were told that if they were not received in the town or in the house that they went to, that they were to turn and shake the dust off of their feet and move on to those who would receive them. So many churches are in the predicament and the situation that they're in because the Holy Spirit shook the dust off of his feet and moved on to another church. After a while, God said that if you continue in your sins, he will turn you over to a reprobate mind, a debased mind. And so many churches are impotent in their ability to move forward, and some it may be too late. And I'm asking and I'm telling you, people, Christians, and even non-Christians who are seeking information and truth, find a church that does deliverance. Find a church that has and allows the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because that will impart onto you. The mantle of that will impart onto you. Then you can go home and lay hands on your kids and set them free. Your spouse, the one that's acting whacked, crazy, insane, doesn't know what's wrong, deep depression, anxieties, anger. These are all spirits. These did not come from God. God is a God of order. God is a God of love. He is the author of the fruits of the Spirit. And anything other than that is just like the counterfeit of divination compared to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all the power and authority of God. Divination receives the power from Satan, the fallen angels, and the demons. Witchcraft, sorcery, necromancy. So this, you need to be discerning and to know the difference, that when you're in a church that is not practicing deliverance, that you are in a potential setup to be even infected more. Many people I have talked to said that they were never the same after coming back from certain, well, for instance, the Kundalini spirit. The Kundalini spirit has been sweeping across the country. I have a teaching on that in my book, Second Heaven Invasion, specifically about the Kundalini, that when you see in a service, maybe that they're trying to be spirit-filled, they're trying to allow the Holy Spirit, and you see people shaking and acting and barking and doing really bizarre things that are not becoming of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, God is a God of order. He's a gentleman. He will not cause you to act like an idiot. And if you're standing there barking like a dog, how does that glorify the kingdom? If you're thrashing around on the floor and people think you're full of the Holy Spirit, how is that glorifying God? How is that being in alignment with God's word? This is a spirit referred to as the Kundalini, which underneath that spirit are many different ones. It may not be specifically thee, but it's a counterfeit. It's making people believe that the Spirit of God's moving when it's not. These are demons manifesting within the individual, and they need a deliverance. That's why discernment, wisdom, needs to be brought forward. Those people who flow in the gifts that have been clean will spot that immediately. They'll pick it right out. And so if you are infected with demons and you go to pray with somebody and you lay hands on them, don't be quick to do that, because you may not only impart a spirit onto somebody else that is unclean, you yourself may receive a spirit. I'm very careful about who prays over me. I'm very careful who prophesies over me. I'm very careful about anyone laying hands on me, because there's a lot of people full of juicy demons that just want to get a piece of me, that want to take me out and take me down and keep me from spreading the word about the deliverance, about the demonic strongholds and setups and the plot of the enemy. Because if you remove me, there are thousands of people that in the future are not going to be delivered. If I had been removed 10 years ago, there would have been thousands of people who did not get delivered. And there are thousands in churches who are not being delivered and will not be delivered because a church is in error. And those who practice such things in a church that have not been delivered and impart the spirit of Kundalini, that's going to cascade. It's going to continue. We saw this in the Vineyard churches. We saw this with those things that swept across the country in Canada that people were thinking was the Holy Spirit, and we see that it's not. And so in time, people became sick. People became mentally ill, more divorces, more broken families. And so here we are today, coming like a steamroller into the days of Noah. And the church is sick and wounded and impotent in the masses. Now, again, of course, there are churches that have understood this. And there's many of them that, if you go to my website at scotthensler.org, I've been listing those churches. I believe in their ministries. They may not be a, quote, church. They're a deliverance ministry. I've been trained in some of these. I've practiced in some of these. I've taught in some of these. And so I can assure you that when you test the Spirit, and that you line the situation up with God's word, and you check and you verify, and you only allow in the Holy Spirit, and you have intercessors who pray to reject those demonic spirits that want to come in as a counterfeit, that cleanse and heal and deliver their own people. That's the church you want to be in. That's the church where you're going to get delivered. That's the church where you're going to be able to move forward in these end times. And know that even though you may die in your flesh, because this is just a vessel, we're only in this compared to for eternity, just like a flash in the pan. We're only in these bodies for a short time. Our spirits live forever. That even if you perish, you'll immediately be with the Most High God, and how wonderful that'll be. That's why, you know, it's unfortunate to see children die. It's a heartbreak. But you need to remember that they go to heaven. Children go to heaven. Now, there's a certain age of accountability when they know right and wrong, and where that is different with every child, because everyone has a maturity difference compared to one another. We all see this. We all know this. But if it's an infant, it's a young child, a toddler, guaranteed, they're in the arms of the Most High God. They're covered in the blood of Jesus. And that when you are delivered, when you're in Christ, when you're healed, and that you have the seal of God on your forehead, you will be with them. See how important it is to get cleansed and to be right with God. And so that's what I'm doing to teach you. So that's deliverance, to be brought back in before the Most High God without a spot or wrinkle. All right, well, again, I am Scott Hensler. Go to my website, scotthensler.org. And I will pray for you, get on Skype, email, by cell phone, whatever it takes. God love you, God bless you, and good night. Thank you.